stars, the high 79. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Hope everybody is doing well. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Some college football on, some more preseason games on. Might dive a little bit into that, but we all know what time it is. You guys see the thumbnail on YouTube. You see what time it is. Chase, man, I heard there's something special coming up this weekend, man. What could that be? It's probably as big as those, if not bigger. It, in fact, is week one of Alabama taking the field, traveling down to Tallahassee, facing the Seminoles. And Chase, and I'll tell you, man, I'm so excited to have football back officially. Like, football's been back. We've been talking about it. Training camp's been back. Preseason's been back. Hell, college football officially back this past weekend. Not sure how much of the games you caught. I saw some of them. Some decent games. The one in Dublin was actually a pretty good game. And then I don't know if you saw what happened after the game. I guess that involved like the quarterback's father and his brother. That was pretty. Did you see that video post game? I feel like that's probably what people imagine me and my dad do when we get into it here on the show. They probably think we do that after we hang up the show. We just go scrap like that in the street, puddle of mud or water, whatever's going on. I don't know. Kind of crazy. But nonetheless, man, that actually was the game itself was pretty good. Game itself was pretty good. But anyway, that was just definitely very interesting. But plenty of football was watched this weekend. I know I watched Seattle play. Jalen Milroe got his first start. Kind of an up and down performance, a little reminiscent of some of the things we saw with him being here. But I'll say this, man, he shows some promise. He shows some upside, which you expect out of a guy with the tools that he has. But definitely, man, you know, the turnovers, got to get that cleaned up. Now, to be fair, you do have to take all the factors into consideration. The guys that he had for him out there, the one just, you know, the things we saw from him that looked reminiscent. It was also the offensive line play, not getting the help from some of the guys around him. But nonetheless, man, again, he scored his first touchdown in the game. That was awesome to see. Had some really nice throws. Had a couple things he needs to do better at. But I'll say this. What I took away from, you know, his preseason chase is that, look, man, he's improving. He's making some progress. I know people are going to say, how do you say that when he had same turnover issues, guys? Half of, like, okay, the botched snap, I had to go back and really look. But when he's dropping back and guys are in his face immediately, yes, he needs to protect the football. That is on him. But at the same time, like, can we finally, like, acknowledge that the guys up front that are getting paid to protect him aren't doing their job? Like, they got to be better, which they will be when he's actually in there with guys that aren't, you know, probably, you know, bubble guys, practice squad, or maybe not even, you know, future NFL guys. So a lot of the reality is a lot of those players, you know, if they don't make a practice squad, maybe UFL, maybe not. But a lot of guys will never play football again, which is kind of the sad reality of the final preseason game. While those guys get a lot of opportunities, it is the last time that some of them will put on their cleats. So anyway, but it was cool to see him get that action, man. I was like, gosh, man, I know he was frustrated. I think they showed an angle where he's coming off. You could tell he was a little upset, but man, he needs to hold his head high because he did a lot of good things, and there's a lot of things that he can build off of. And I'll be honest, just hearing his coaches talk about him, right, and how they appreciate his work ethic, you know, everything he's doing to put into to be a good quarterback, man, I think he's going to be all right, man. I truly do. But I do believe, you know, him having Sam Darnold, my former teammate, leading him, you know, being able to learn from him, grow from Everything he absorbs from being in that quarterback room with them, I think it's going to be very beneficial for him. And I think, man, you never know, man. A couple years down the road, man, we might be seeing a Jalen Milroe, train that's just taking off, and it's hard to stop. But that was cool watching him and all the other countless Bama guys in the league. Definitely going to be keeping up with the roster updates. Again, a lot of guys being waived, being cut, being released, kind of part of this time of year. But we'll see who gets picked back up, who gets retained. I know a lot of people have lists and all that. So we definitely want to keep up with our former Bama guys, kind of see how those things play out. But a number of Bama guys did some really good stuff this preseason and are looking to have some very solid seasons this upcoming year. That being said, you guys know what we like to do on this show, right? We already said, look, week one is here. It's officially game week. And I've been thinking about this, Chase. I really want to almost mirror kind of what we do in a real meeting room, right? And I'm going to try to do my best. Obviously, it's not going to be exactly like that. But what do I mean by that? Mondays was always our prep day, right? So what's today? It's Monday. So I spent this weekend, Chase, I've been watching tape. I've been looking at Florida State. Actually, it was funny is I've looked at a lot more tape from UCF and Nebraska than actually Florida State itself. But I've been breaking stuff down because, why? That's what you have to do, right? You have to look to see what you're anticipating. And when you have new coordinators, that's what happens. Well, I've been doing my assessments, Chase. I've been gathering my ideas. And today I want to make it like an intro day, right? And then throughout the week, we'll continue to break down the game itself, expectations, kind of how we see it playing out, stuff like that. Obviously, I'll do a bunch of that today as well. But, you know, Mondays for us, you know, when we always were prepping, that's what it was. It was a prep day. We got to know the personnel. So we're going to pull up the depth chart. Florida State did release their first depth chart going into week one. We'll take a look at that. I'll kind of highlight some guys that have caught my attention, some guys and some names that I think you guys should maybe take a look at or at least have in your mind. So we'll do that. We'll take a little bit of a preview at Florida State's offense, their defense, schematically kind of what to expect, what we might see in this ball game, some matchups to look out for and all that good stuff. And we'll keep on rolling. Always want to hear from you guys, 205-342-9904. I know you guys got plenty of questions, so we'll definitely get to that as well. And like I mentioned, throughout the week, we'll continue breaking things down. We'll ramp it up. And then finally, Friday comes, you know how it is. We're giving our predictions. We want to hear from you guys, get y'all's predictions, give our keys, our final keys, our final outlook for the game. But throughout the week, we'll continue to let it marinate and really discuss it, because I know you guys really like that type of content. Plus, since we do stream live on YouTube, shout out to everybody here on the YouTube channel. We will pull up clips and stuff like that we can take a look at. So for all our radio listeners, if you guys want to get in on that, you know where to find us. Check us out on YouTube at The Miller's Edge. It's real easy to find us. Make sure we only ask for one thing. Well, two, I guess. Drop a like on the video, right? And subscribe. It's completely free. That helps us out. Helps us continue to grow. Because again, we are a radio show, but we want to continue to build up this platform because we know you guys really enjoy it over here as well. So make sure you guys get in on the action. You can join the chat, interact with each other. We love listening to you guys in the chat, watching you guys, discuss things, get y'all's thoughts. You can ask questions right there. And we can discuss that here on the show as well. Plus, we will be getting some folks on here throughout the week talking about this matchup, talking Alabama football, and maybe have an interview or two lined up that you guys will be excited for. So make sure you guys are locked in and loaded. We're just getting started. Week one, I'm fired up. I know you guys are too. And we've got an exciting game plan for you guys this whole year, man. So make sure you guys are locked and loaded. Got to remind you about our presenting sponsor, our friends over at the Good Feet Store. Make sure you guys check them out. We've got a lot of good stuff planned together with the Good Feet Store. Probably going to do some giveaways. I told you guys last week about what they've got planned. They're going to be doing the kick at the Alabama football games where you can win some cash. Kick for cash. So make sure you guys, when you are at the game, make sure you guys are trying to get in on that action, because all you got to do is go kick a good, I guess, field goal and you can win some cash. Plus, probably some nice arch supports, which, again, that's what they are known for. The Good Feet Store arch supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it. They will take care of it. All you got to do is throw them in your shoes. Doesn't matter what type of shoes, they go in there and they get to work. Clinically proven to do so in just 4 short weeks. Where can you find them? Well, Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa, right off of McFarland Boulevard is the location here. They are nationwide. Go to their website, goodfeet.com. Schedule an appointment. Find the nearest location. You get more information. But just check them out. Walk-ins are welcome. You can always schedule an appointment if you like. But just head on in there and see what they have to offer. I promise you guys, we'll be pleased. with what they've got, because these things are game changers, especially for me. I'm on my feet all the time, especially with football season coming up. I'm going to be walking a bunch. You guys know how it is on game day, man. You're trekking, you got to park far. Get those arch supports in those shoes, man. That way you're comfortable watching the games when you do finally get into Bryant-Denny Stadium. We got to hit our first timeout. We come back. We're jumping into week one, Florida State prep. We're going to take a look at them. We'll hear from Mike Norvell. He had a press conference. I believe Kalen DeBoer will be speaking to the media as well. We'll obviously hear from him. We'll do our breakdowns. We'll hear from you. We're going to have one hell of a show right here on the Miller's Edge. Top 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support.
And that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Hey, I'm Martin Houston, and I want to tell you about exciting news happening at Box Eye Care. They've moved to their new location, bringing you a brand new lab, stylish new frames, and a fresh look just for you. Enjoy their expanded frame inventory, competitive prices, and faster service, all with the same great level of service you've come to know and trust. Discover this full-service eye care at Box Eye Care's new location. With their in-house lab, they offer unbeatable value and one of the largest frame collections in town. Schedule your eye exam today and walk out with new glasses in less than an hour in most cases. Visit BoxEyeCare.com. That's BoxEyeCare.com, or call 205-342-0660. That's 205-342-0660. Visit them at 5003 Oscar Baxter Drive. That's Box Eye Care. Your vision, our priority.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9. And I know you guys on the radio are probably like, wait, did they just restart? Yeah, we just ran that intro back because, I mean, hey, look, man, we waited a long time to get that done. I thought it sounded pretty damn good. The only thing I'd add is they took out my part about my Panthers, man. I still want to, you know, represent the Panthers. So probably got to throw that back in there, former Carolina Panther. But
nobody cares.
No, they don't care. But I do. It's a part of my history. It's a part of my history. Look, you got your Giants in there, so I'm just saying. I mean, I'm gonna get the Panthers thrown back in there. But we had to run it back. If you guys like watch wrestling, we had to pull the Jey Uso. We had to run the theme back because it sounded pretty damn good. We had the calls. You know, Christian Miller on the sack. Look, things that we should have had in there, and it has a nice ring to it, man. But anyway, you also just heard the Pastor Payne talking if you're on the radio. That's because he's joining us. He's on here now. Looks like he's back to doing what he does best, being on that road. I would say in the old suburban, but he's got something a little bit different now. But he's rolling, not only with us, but down 82 or 85. I don't know where he's rolling, but he's rolling somewhere.
I am at the beautiful coast of South Carolina. We call it Isle of Palms. If you've never been down to the coast, let me shout out my great state of South Carolina. If you want to see beautiful beaches, beautiful homes, beautiful food and restaurants, come down to Charleston, Isle of Palms. You can go a little further north to where my spot is, or Polly's Island. All that is so good. So need to check it out. Check it out, man.
Yeah, it sounds like
golf for Mark Bryan and Denny Hamlin's event, so I'm here for that. So,
oh, nice. Denny Hamlin, they're cool, but shout out to Joey Logano.
NASCAR.
Yeah, and trust me, I know. That's why I said he's cool and all, but shout out to Joey Logano. Me and him both are partners with the Good Feet Store, so I'm more of a Logano guy. But
yeah, Logano's I think it's a Joe Gibbs racing guy, I believe, who's a part of this. Joe Gibbs always is here normally, and between he and I, we do the little devotion prayer before the tournament starts, so it's always cool.
Good deal. All right, well, I told everybody before you hopped in here, man, We got some exciting stuff planned. And this is how I'm looking at it for this time around. Mondays, I want to treat it like how we do it, right? Because everybody knows we're both former players, right? We have the experience of the game prep of what this really looks like. And I want to share it with our listeners. I want them to have that opportunity. So you know how it is. Mondays are always your prep day, right? Monday is your day where you're getting to know your opponent. You're looking at the personnel. You're looking at the schematics. You spend more time in the meeting room than you do actually on the practice field. So that's what we're doing here on the show today. And so I want to kick things off and take a look at Florida State. They did just release their depth chart. And so we get to take a look at that. I'm putting it on the screen on the stream right now. Again, if you guys are listening on radio, I'm going to cover it as best as I can. But if you want to see it with your own eyes, hop on over to the YouTube stream. So here it is right here. Starting quarterback, we already know. Tommy Castellanos, however you pronounce it. He's your starting quarterback. No surprise there. We'll hear from Mike Norvell in a little bit. He talked about his quarterback in his press conference, a number of other guys as well. When you also roll down the depth chart, you see a couple familiar faces, right? If you're an Alabama fan, at least. Roydell Williams named their starting running back with the OR next to Gavin Sawchuk, if that's how you pronounce it right. You guys know how I am with names. But Roydell Williams, their running back, missed a lot of time last year with injury, but we know him very well. Really good running back, kind of a you know, do-it-all, three-down type of running back. And we're very familiar with him. So that's going to be an exciting matchup to see us face him with his new program. Rolling down the list, you also see on the defensive side, in terms of familiar faces, Earl Little Jr. being named their starting rover, which is kind of like their Husky position, right? It's like that star, which we used to call like our nickel corner. So two familiar faces in starting roles for the Florida State Seminoles. But going back over to the offense, just looking at their depth chart, the wide receiver position, they bring in Deuce Robinson, a guy who people have a lot of high expectations for. Another name that people are probably familiar with is Squirrel White. If you're wondering why it sounds familiar, it's not just because of the name. It sounds kind of funny. No offense. It's just Squirrel is kind of an interesting name. But a former Tennessee receiver who had some big plays against Alabama a couple seasons ago. But you look at the offensive line, one thing I noticed, all redshirt seniors, pretty much. I mean, these guys have a lot of experience. So they're a veteran-led group. The key piece there is Luke Pettibon, who's been there for quite some time. He's their center, and he's going to be the one kind of, you know, handling everything, the signal caller up front with that unit. But again, they did bring in a number of guys via the transfer portal. That's what makes it really kind of tough when you look at this Florida State football team to really get an idea. There's just so many new names, new faces, that, you know, you can kind of anticipate what it's going to look like, what it's going to be. But with it being week one, there's only so much you can go off of. But they do have a number of other guys that you might want to keep an eye on. I do know one of their receivers, the freshman, is somebody that that a lot of people are he's a highly rated guy. I'm trying to forgot his name for a second, but I think Carson might have mentioned him in the chat. But anyway, they've got some skill guys. They got some players. And definitely looking forward to that matchup. Moving on to the defensive side of the ball, again, a number of transfers over there. I want to say the edge spot. Mentioned Earl Little Jr. already. In the secondary, they have a number of players with some experience, number of guys that probably going to be getting some NFL attention. So, look, they've got players. We know that. You can't let the record from last year really reflect, you know, how you anticipate them being this season. There he goes, Carson. Yeah. Is it Javen? Yeah, Boggs. I think that was who I was thinking of. But look, they've got guys, and we'll dive deeper into these players, you know, throughout the week, maybe pull up some tape on a couple of them. But just looking at their starting lineup, man, they're going to have some guys. They're going to have some Jimmys and Joes. And then the next step to that is when you look at how will they be used, you're bringing in a new offensive coordinator. You're bringing in a new defensive coordinator. Well, luckily, I went and watched a bunch of tape. I went and looked at UCF. I went and looked at Nebraska to get an idea of how these things, how schematically how they may look. And I think I got a pretty good idea. Looking at their defense, you're expected to see a 3-3-5 style of defense. And I'll pull up kind of some screenshots on the screen. Coach White comes over from Nebraska, where he was with my former coach in Carolina, which was Matt Rhule. But anyway, they hired him from over there. who, if you go back and you look, man, Nebraska had a really good defense last year. Statistically, they did a really nice job and were one of the top defenses in almost every category, and including stopping the run, which people normally view the 3-3-5 as something that's a little vulnerable against the run, which, yes, it can be. But what I did notice is he does a really nice job of, it's not just, you know, typical 3-3-5 stacks. They're able to get in and out of a number of different things. And I really would consider it more of a multiple. They do flash some 3-3-5 stuff. I mean, if you look at this right here, first play from this Indiana game with them on defense, you see this 3-3-5 look on the screen, but it takes nothing for them just to roll that, which would be their Husky, or what we used to call jack down, creating a four down front, getting to more of a traditional four down, 4-2-5 nickel look. So you'll see a number of different things. They mix it up. They bring pressure. They're very aggressive. They're a penetrating style defense. But what makes it interesting is their approach is a little interesting, right? I mean, there's times they're a zone based defense. So you'll see a lot of zone drops. Sometimes they do only bring those three guys. They're trying to drop eight, trying to create that net. Other times they're bringing pressure from other places. And that is one of the luxuries of a 3-3-5 defense. It allows you to have that flexibility and almost like the element of surprise. Because as you see here, you have your three guys down on line of scrimmage. You know, you could really bring any of these guys. And that's typically what you see out of 3-3-5s, whether it's plugging backers, whether it's bringing somebody off the edge. There's a lot of movement, especially pre-snap with what they do. And so I fully expect them to try to do that, especially given that they'll be facing Ty Simpson in his first career start on the road. I expect them to try to mix it up, show him different looks, try to get him kind of off his game, you know, make him, you know, see ghosts, so to speak. And I wouldn't be shocked if they throw a lot of different things at him, because that's what Coach White is known to do. And we've heard a lot about, you know, Tommy Castellanos talking about some of those looks that he's gotten preseason, spring training camp. This defense is in terms of the system, right? It's a really good system, and it's something that's had a lot of success, and it's caught a lot of fire recently within college football. A few years ago, you looked at a 3-3-5 and kind of laughed at it just because it was more of a Big 12 type defense, trying to defend the pass, didn't really generate much pressure. But now you see really everybody using some form of it at some point. Georgia uses it. Alabama has adopted some 3-3-5 defenses even before Kane Wamet got here. We saw it with Coach Saban. So this is just something that they base out of, that they'll move around a lot, and you'll see a good bit of it. So it will be interesting to see Alabama's approach. Because, again, just to, I guess, go back, the 3-3-5 is known to, number one, generate different looks, create confusion, and, you know, kind of muddy up the blocking schemes for the offensive linemen, but also allow you flexibility to get in and out of different things and bring pressure from different places. So it's a little bit more on the complex side when it comes to, you know, as an offensive unit, trying to dissect it and understand kind of what you're getting, you know, every snap. But there are some vulnerabilities, and we'll continue to talk about some of that throughout there. Did you have any thoughts on this? I know I just went and talked a whole bunch.
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, I just echo what you said. Listen, I mean, it's the first game, and here's what I want people to understand, and probably they know this, but in case you don't, it's game number one. And I think we all have to be careful of how much we break down and dissect and even win or lose in this ball game. You know, you'll know a little bit, but it's normally that game 2-3 where you're starting to see the identity of these football teams begin, right? And so I caution fans about that, number one. Number two, there's going to be turnovers. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be false starts. There's going to be, you know, punts dropped, muffed, kickoffs fumbled. It's the first game. It's high energy. Guys are happy about playing somebody different. Camp is over. You're hitting a jersey that you haven't seen before. All of this stuff somewhat causes a little bit angst, especially early in the football game. But I think for Alabama, you're taking a team out there with a lot of new faces, a new quarterback in Ty Simpson, which all eyes will be on him. Game day, everybody in America will be talking about Ty Simpson, you know, because now you're going with a unproven quarterback since the last couple of years, Jalen Miro, and even before that, you had guys that had played. So this is like you're starting over again at that position. So, you know, they just got to be relaxed. They got to be calm. you know, what kind of game will Ryan Grubb call with Ty Simpson? You know, how patient will he be? And I think that determines what happens in the football game. You are right, you know, what Florida State is going to do. Anytime you got an unproven guy that has not played a lot of football, you're going to see a lot of pressure, right? You're going to see a lot of looks. You're going to see a lot of what we call sugaring by the defender. They're going to move around. They're going to try to cause mistakes. They're going to try to force them into turnovers. You're on the road, hostile crowd. You're going to have 75, 80,000 against you, hoping to get turnovers because that creates momentum. So they're going to see a lot of different stuff, Alabama. This is a critical game. You know, if we look at it on paper, yes, Alabama has more talent. Florida State has done what they've done in the last 3 or 4 years. They have been very aggressive, maybe one of the most aggressive teams when it comes to transfer portal, going out, getting guys, plug and play type of guys. You just alluded to a couple of the Alabama football players. But it is a big game from the standpoint of it's a dangerous game. You're playing a opponent that was undefeated a couple of years ago. Now, they sucked, excuse my language, last year, but they were terrible. But 2 years ago, this team was a quarterback being healthy from being in the playoffs and a good football team. So, you know, can they get back to that? You know, can they get the quarterback play from Castellanos, whatever his name is, that's running his trap nonstop? But I think with Alabama has to do to win this game, they got to be able to run the football. No Jam Miller, that may cause a little bit of problems. I know I heard guys talking and why they're going to be superstars. Just be quiet. Go show us. Don't tell me about it. Go show me. Right? Just go out there and play, but they got to run the ball. They got to be physical at the point of attack. Establish that. First downs, move the chains. That keeps the crowd noise down. Protect the football and defense. Those three things that has to always travel when you're in high-level football, right? And if they're not playing good in one of these areas, they got a very, very good potential of losing that football game. So this is going to be a very critical game for Alabama. But as I said at the initial, even if they lost, I'm not saying that they are, I haven't made my predictions yet, but you can't, like, get bent up out of shape. It's just game number one, and a new quarterback, anything can happen in these football games. So I think, you know, you got to sit back and just let it unfold, and we'll see. We'll see what Ryan Grubb is going to bring as an offense. How differently will it look? Minus Jalen Milroe, you know, what would this offense look like? Would it be a quick passing game, ball out of the hands of the quarterback, get into the hands of these great wide receivers, let them, like, run up your catch? Will it be that, you know, or will it be heavy run focus? I'm excited to see, you know, what type of game, what type of offense will this evolve into? I think that's really the million-dollar question with this team this year. Can the offense be good as we saw, like, in Washington a few years ago? Will it be that type of offense, or will it be something that's a combo of both?
Yeah. No, I agree. And speaking of Alabama's offense in this game, what I gather just watching a lot of this Nebraska tape, I mean, I mentioned them based on that 3-3-5 moving around. You see on the screen right here, they got a four-man front. Looks like more of a nickel look with just that dime linebacker in the middle. Six DBs, I believe, if I'm counting. Actually, no, they got somebody mugged up. I'm sorry. I didn't even see him right there. But what I'm getting at is they're going to show different things. But what they do is they're really a true zone type of team. And with that, I do believe there's going to be a lot of opportunities. You see them playing off a good bit there. They got a guy pressed up top. But I think, you know, if you're Alabama going into this first game, man, take what the defense gives you, knowing they're going to be trying to throw different things at you, trying to complicate things, muddy it up for a guy like Ty Simpson. Obviously, like you mentioned, man, first and foremost, establish that running game. We already know that. But I think when it comes to the passing game, right, I mean, I mentioned some of their DBs. I mean, you look at it, it's going to be some interesting matches. I know we're really high on this receiver room, and I still stand by that. But you look at Florida State secondary, man, they've got a couple of guys that I mentioned earlier going to be some NFL type players. And I believe that it's going to be some good matchups, but schematically, I think there's going to be some openings for, you know, some quick pass game, get tied in a rhythm. And then when those opportunities are there, take advantage of it. That was one thing I noticed. There are going to be some deep shot opportunities when facing this defense, but you just got to be patient, take what they're giving you. And then when those open up, take advantage of it. But I agree with you 100%. Week one, you know, one of the biggest keys, especially going on the road, playing a team like this, you know, it's going to be a hostile environment. You got to hold your marbles. You got to make sure you go down there, play disciplined football. They're going to be loud. It's going to be that type of environment. Don't want to set yourself behind the chains. Don't want to have all the false starts. We've seen that over the past few years. It's going to be really important week one to kind of set the tone. Because, look, is, you know, Florida State's got a good team. You know, it's hard to tell what exactly they're going to be. Like you said, it's week one. But the last thing you want to do is, you know, set yourself up for failure. You're right. Not playing disciplined football, not communicating. And that's where all those things are going to have to be key. And I feel like from what I've got, what I've gotten from, you know, going up to practice and being around, I mean, they're working with the crowd noise, right? That you got Ty really trying to be a leader, getting guys to step up, make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. I think they will be better prepared than they have been maybe over the last few seasons in terms of traveling on the road and showing up in these big environments, these big games. Especially when, you know, you got a lot of pressure, right? Because we know when that pressure adds up, right? Sometimes it makes people bust. Sometimes it makes diamonds, right? You got to pick and choose the outcome. But before we go to this next timeout, just real quick recapping a little bit of what I got to offensively from the UCF tape, man. We went and watched a little bit of them last year, KJ Jefferson. They even, I forgot, man, do you remember that Dylan Gabriel had a – played at UCF. I forgot about that, but he was
there before it went to
So I went back and saw some of that. But if you watch it, man, Gus Malzahn, you already know there's going to be a lot of pre-snap movement, a lot of jet motion type action. There's going to be a lot of RPO game, zone read type stuff, especially when he's paired up with a quarterback that has dual threat capabilities like Tommy Castellano. So fully expecting that. Going to be even more critical that this defense is playing discipline, knowing what their assignment is and playing disciplined football. And then taking a step further, communicating, right? When you see those trades, when you see those jets, know what you're getting into, right? Because with us, we always had it where, you know, we have, you know, trips here and they motion back to 2x2. We got to get back into our 2x2 check, right? How do you make sure everybody's on the same page? You communicate. That's going to be a big deal. Fully expect them to still try to run the football. People, like, they get lost in that. They think, you know, Gus is trying to throw a whole bunch and do what he will. But they really want to get to their running game, but do it in a number of different ways. And they try to do it almost by just getting you off your game with all the motions, with the zone read type action. So got to be big there. But I also will say perimeter tackling, I think, will be big in this game. We talk about jet sweeps. We talk about them trying to run screen game, see a bunch of that. Perimeter tackling will be important. This secondary unit, I know we talk about all the turnovers that they force, but it's going to be key that they're able to go out there and play physical, you know, defeat the blocks on the perimeter and go out there and make plays. Because when you play teams like this that run around, you know, zone read, jet sweep type stuff, perimeter play, linebackers have to flow, got to get everybody to the ball, 11 hats to the football. And that's what they're known for, right? Swarm D, but it'll be big in this football game. So we'll continue breaking things down. Again, this is just kind of that Monday preview, getting you guys a little familiar with what you're probably going to see. Defensively, we talked about the 3-3-5. Offensively, we talked about Gus Malzahn, a little bit of, you know, what to expect from his types of offenses and how that could look with this new unit. But they, again, they've got pieces, man. I mean, even like Deuce Robinson, if you go look at him, he's a big target, 6'6". I mean, Tommy was talking about it, man. He's never had a target like that. So there's going to be some interesting matchups to watch, and we'll continue talking about those matchups, continue talking about keys to the game, previews, all that good stuff coming up. But we also got to hit some of these interviews. What also comes with Mondays is press conferences. Coaches are speaking. Mike Norvell has spoken to the media. Alabama coaches will speak to the media if they haven't already. So we got to get to those. All that coming up right on the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport expert.
All powered by Mountain Dew. Get in, get prizes, and get ready to do it local. On Friday, August 29th at your 69 South Piggly Wiggly store in Tuscaloosa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department
of Marathon and regular deodorant.
so much more.
Secret is the goat. Because nothing fights sweat better.
Stay fresher under pressure.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard, aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
To the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Week one is officially here. Football is officially back here in Tuscaloosa again. We are doing our Monday breakdown ahead of the week one matchup versus Florida State. We've been talking about a little bit of a preview, what to expect. Went over the depth chart again. Florida State released that today, and we went over some names, but again, just to remind you guys, Tommy Castellanos is our quarterback.
Tommy Castellanos is our quarterback
in from Boston College. We've been hearing a lot about him, and finally this weekend we will get to finally see if he can put some action with his words. Mentioned some of the familiar faces: Roy Dell Williams, Earl Little Jr., both those guys being named starters. But again, offensively, senior led group, all redshirt seniors, I believe. Luke Pettibone has played a lot of football as well, bringing a big tackle through the transfer portal, and other guys. Deuce Robinson, a big target on the outside for Tommy Castellanos, and defensively got a big nose tackling Darrell Jackson is a big time playmaker up front, and a number of DBs that I feel like are going to be some good matchups for our guys as well. So we'll continue breaking this game down, continue talking about it all throughout the week. And again, if you want your most in-depth breakdowns when it comes to the game itself, man, you won't find it anywhere else than the Miller's Edge. Remember that. Plus, Mondays after week one, we will be breaking down the games, going back, talking about what happened, what transpired, keys from the game and all that stuff. And we'll revisit those games, then move forward to the next opponent. Obviously, we don't have a game to do that this week, but next week we'll do that. That'll be the schedule. So we'll break down the game from Saturday. Then we'll move on to the next opponent. Again, treating it just like we do in the film rooms as players. So we're trying to give you guys that feel, right, like we used to do as players, and bring you guys in the meeting room with us. Maybe we'll come up with a name for that segment. All right, that being said, I know we got some press conferences to get to. I know Ryan Grubb spoke to the media today. I want to get to that. Again, we got hour number two to do that, so we'll probably do that in a little bit. We also have Kalen DeBoer speaking to the media. And I'm assuming Kane Womack went ahead and spoke to the media as well. So what we'll probably do is hour number two, we'll probably load up on a bunch of press conferences. So we'll do that here coming up in a minute. But first, let's go to you guys. I do know we got some app messages here on the chat. Before we go to the phone lines, I do believe we have a caller. But first, let me see what else we have. I know we just answered one from Ryan. He was asking about vulnerabilities. What do we expect in terms of them trying to how they're going to try to attack us? And I just said, I think offensively, you look at where we struggled last year, quarterback, running game, it gave us fits, right? You know, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, they've got a dual threat. Gus Malzahn knows how to use that and utilize a quarterback with running ability. I fully believe that's what we're going to see. They're going to try to get to their running game, but do it, you know, in a number of different ways. I talked about it last week. You know, football, there's only so many plays you're really running, but there's a whole bunch of different ways you can get to those plays. And so I believe that's probably what we're going to see. from their offense. Do think they will test us there at some point, but they'll probably set it up once they try to establish that running game first. But when you have a 6'6 target that you bring in from the transfer portal, man, they're definitely going to try to give him some looks 100%. We'll hit one more question. Mike, it's a different Mike, I believe, says, how well will the Bama fan base travel this week? I live in Tennessee, but lifetime Noel fan here. I'm sitting in the Alabama section this game. Should be interesting to say the least. I'll just say this, man. Alabama fans travel. So if you guys in the chat want to give Mike an idea, man, like let him know. Alabama fans will travel. So he will be surrounded by Alabama fans this matchup. But one thing I will say, outside of some of the bad fans I've learned about this offseason after the whole Jalen Milroe experience last year, we got a pretty solid and respectful fan base. So you should be in pretty good hands, Mike. At least I hope, man. Hope they treat you right. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Josh up first. Josh, welcome in.
Christian, what is going on?
What's up, Josh?
I'm actually on campus of the University of Alabama as we speak.
Oh, dang. That's what's up, man.
Yes, sir. I come down last night and had dinner with a friend of mine and got to celebrate my birthday. My birthday was Friday. And then had to come get a couple more Bama things before season started. We have made it to game week, my friend.
It's here, man. It's here. I'm looking forward to it. I'm fired up, man. It just feels different this time around.
Dude, I'm telling you. And I know, of course, loved watching you play on the defense when you was there. But I'm looking forward to watching what this defense does. When I really think, and I've told guys, I've kept telling them this, and I'm preaching to the choir at this point, but 9 of 11 guys are coming back. And this dude, Tommy C in Tallahassee, Florida, has the audacity, the stones, whatever you want to say, has the ego enough to say that his defense is going to be the best that he has seen, and he thinks that has made him sharp. When I heard that, I was like, man, you were out of your mind. Because I just know what kind of boys got playing on defense this year. And, of course, Coach Womack will have them ready and whipped into shape. I'm excited to see a couple of guys kind of hopefully have their moment and emerge. So, I think
we call this just fodder. We call it fodder, right? It's just players fodder. You know, I could use a more colorful language, but I am a pastor and I won't do that. But, you know, it's one of them things that, you know, they're just throwing stuff out there, hope it sticks somewhere, hope people believe it. Well, our team is not going to believe it, and that's the Alabama Crimson Tide football team. Don't care what these guys saying. When you got people talking, you know, making all this noise, bro, listen, that tells me one or two things. They're probably a little bit scared, and they're trying to motivate themselves to feel more confident about themselves, because when players start chirping, you know, like that, oh, my defense, your defense was terrible last year, right? So you see them in practice where they can't hit you. You can throw the ball at free will. It's not the same. The bottom line is we're going to see on Saturday who you really are, what you're about, how good your defense is, how good Alabama's defense and offense is. It's going to show now. Everybody in the world is going to have a chance to see it with their own eyes. It ain't about, you know, coaches talking and press conferences. We're going to see, right? You know, no more closed scrimmages. We are going to see who everybody is. And so I think as an Alabama fan, you're looking for this team to get back to who they used to be. They're not going to be Nick Saban, but you want them to get back somewhere close and respectable where everybody in the country now goes, okay, Alabama is playing some good football. It's Kalen DeBoer style, but they're aggressive. There's a process is back. They're confident. You know, they're stingy on defense. They're going to bust you in your mouth. They're going to run the football. That 4-minute offense is going to be back. When they got a 10-point lead, they can close games out by running the football again. This is for me as an Alabama fan, and I'm an Alabama fan because of my son. You know, I'm looking to see, can they get back to that type of standard, right? It ain't going to be Nick Saban. I'm not going to hold them to that, because I think that's very unfair to try to hold them to that standard. But Alabama and Alabama football means something, and they have a way internally of playing football and how to do this thing. They got to get back to some of that, right? I like the fact that there's no Willie around breaking down the defense. There's no all this outside stuff coming inside, podcasts, and blah, all the looseness of the program. What he did was he tightened things up. And he goes, you know what? I did it the first year trying to get comfortable, make people like me, whatever it was, whatever the reason was. He knows right. that, hey, football down south, bro, that's a serious mm-hmm. thing. And especially at the University of Alabama, we ain't about, you know, all this outside crap stuff. You know, that's good for social media, right. but this is real stuff. And I think Kalen DeBoer, his mindset has changed. And I think because of that, that locker room is going to be changed and guys are going to be more about their business. And that's why I expect them to be much better, much more sound, much more disciplined than we've seen last year.
Right. Yeah, I think so, too. And like I was going to mention, I think Keon Healy, I think he's set to have a bit of a breakout year. I'm not saying he's going to be the exact guy, but I am saying that I think he's one of the guys to definitely keep an eye on. And I'm excited for him. I'll never forget first time somebody told me about him and brought him up. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. And, of course, LT got to the Wisconsin quarterback a couple of times last year and woke him up and knocked him around. So we'll see. And I'm excited. But I could run through this defense all day long. I mean, I'm not strictly a defensive guy as far as watching the ball and watching the game. But just this year, to me, the defensive side of the football, just the whole thing feels different. But I think you know what I mean whenever I look at the defense specifically. So.
Yeah, no, and I think the biggest thing for this defense, I mean, the turnovers they forced last year, man, was just awesome. You know, that's one of the biggest stats you can have as a defensive unit. I think the only thing that really stands out for me is consistent physicality, consistency in terms of execution, man. And you just, you know, I go back and watch the tape. I think one of the first plays against LSU, I mean, I see we give up. I think it was like second play, man. I think they ran like outside zone play. It goes for like 30, 40 yards. Just given, you know, our guys weren't in the right place. You know, it's not always just the call. And I think we kind of had our backers mugged up. And that's why, you know, certain things I just think we just got to continue just to clean up and be better at. You know, if we are going to show some of those different types of looks and then be a little cute like that, we got to make sure we execute it the right way accordingly and don't give up those types of plays. But I think really, man, there's a lot to build off of, a lot to be excited about. We talked about the pass rush, too. That's the other big thing with this defense, needing to step up. And you mentioned, like, there's some names, man. It's just theirs for the taking. I mean, I fully expect, you know, at least early on, LT, Quay Rousseau, those probably being your top two guys. Yonzé Pierre has done a nice job really coming along. I think you'll see a good bit of him in this first game, given that you're going against a dual threat quarterback that can move. So we need some more speed and athleticism out there. And, you know, you mentioned Keon, but I also think Jordan Renaud is a guy to watch in terms of, you know, him seeing an increased role.
Right. Yep. And I could run down a couple more rabbit holes as far as, like, specifically real quick, talking about having that speedster and against that dual-threat quarterback. I'll never forget, you go back to the Oklahoma game, we played Kyler Murray, and he tries to run up the middle, and he had a hole for about a half a second. Quinnen Williams grabbed his jersey tail and said, "You get back here, boy." And that was just fun to watch. But anyways, hey, y'all have a good day.
You don't remember my sack on him. I ate dude up. Pause. I mean, you don't remember my sack in that game?
I've watched that game. And when you
I about knocked his head off. Damn. See, that's crazy. But see, I see how you do, Josh. I see how you do. Wow. You can't mention Oklahoma in a sack without even really? No, I'm just messing with you, man. No, I'm giving you a hard time, brother. I'm just giving you a hard time. Josh, we got to hit the top of the hour break, man. We appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, buddy. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Josh. Roll Tide. God bless you, bro. Roll Tide.
No, I'm just giving him a hard time. I thought he was talking about that hit. Then he said, "Oh, Quinn grabbed him." I was like, I think he's actually talking about Anthony Jennings, though. I think that was Anthony's sack that he's talking about, unless there's another one later on. After I got hurt and tore my hamstring, I ain't going to lie, I couldn't really watch much. I was too busy rolling around in the training room just trying to get my legs to stop cramping up because, goodness gracious. Ooh, that did not feel good. not feel good. All right, we're going to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this week one Monday.
Put some ice on it. Let's go.
Nah, bro. It ain't enough ice for a torn hamstring, bro. You need a lot more than that, bro. Ice, all type of stuff going on. We got to hit this top of the hour break. We come back. We keep on rolling. Florida State week one prep coming at you right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Tommy Fleetwood won the PGA's Tour Championship, earning the first place check of $10 million. Patrick Cantlay was tied for the lead to start the day, but finished three strokes back, tied for second with fellow American Russell Henley in Atlanta. The Minnesota Vikings signed veteran quarterback Carson Wentz and traded QB Sam Howell to Philadelphia. The Browns released quarterback Tyler Huntley. Raiders backup quarterback Aiden O'Connell will miss 6 to 8 weeks with a broken wrist. In the WNBA, Minnesota All-Star Nafisa Collier returned from a sprained ankle, scored 32 points in a win over Indiana 97-84. To baseball, the Dodgers and Padres are again tied for first in the NL West after LA won 8-2 at San Diego. Freddie Freeman with two homers. Shohei Ohtani hit his 45th of the year. Seattle.
Gear up for fall with Labor Day savings on LG, America's most reliable appliance brand at the Home Depot. Offer valid August 21st through September 10th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
What a beautiful afternoon. The sky mostly sunny. Humidity values are down, the high 84. Tonight, a preview of fall. Mostly clear with the low in the low 60s, around 62. Tomorrow, partly sunny. A few isolated afternoon showers, the high 79. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Hey, it's week one. We're breaking down Alabama, Florida State. We're doing our Monday preview. We talked about the depth chart that was released by Florida State. I wanted to get to a little bit of Mike Norvell's press conference, at least, and then maybe I'll get just like two of his answers when he talked about Alabama, because we're definitely not going to have much time. We got to hear from Kalen DeBoer, who spoke to the media. The coordinators also did as well. And anything that we don't get to today, no worries. We will jump on it tomorrow and cover it. Plus, we got callers lined up. I know you guys are excited. Want to go ahead and start diving into this talk. So let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Pat up next. Pat, welcome in.
Well, hey, man, I just read something that I thought prior to the football game that Osceola, the Seminole Indian lookalike, throws a war lance in the center of the field that's lit up on fire, and it's not a war lance. It's actually a spear that just represents the Seminole people. So it ain't no big deal to it. I thought it was an actual war lance, like they was ready to go to war. And they're not ready to go to war at all. What do you think?
like my dad said, Pat, I have no clue because it's week one. I mean, we can break them down as much as we like. But I will say this.
Is he dirty there? I want to talk about field conditions. Is he dirty there?
Yeah, he's on here, but let me finish what I want to say first.
I'm Mr. Pat.
Okay. Hey, what I want to talk about is the fact that they've done something that Auburn did. Auburn turned the sprinklers on prior to one of our football games for nearly a week, wetting the field down to slow the track. Well, guess what they've done in Tallahassee? They have ripped up the artificial grass and planted at the last minute, that last minute change to natural grass. And you know that stuff's not going to be seeded in at that field conditions with a 50% chance of rain, that this could be a slow track. And what do you think,
Mr. Reverend? It's funny that you mentioned that, Pat, right? Back in 1986, we went to play a high school by the name of Batesburg Leesville. We were 2A upper state championship game. And the weather, and when we left Paisley, it's about 2.5-3 hour ride, was so sunny, not a cloud in the sky. When we got to Batesburg Leesville, it looked like it had a hurricane on the football field. Not in the parking lot, not on the road, on the outside of the stadium, but on the football field. It's like the Lord himself said, I'm going to cause a hurricane and dump rain for hours under this field. I mean, puddles. And coach was like, how did this happen? Because we were a fast team, we were an athletic team, you know. They wet the field so bad, we had no cleats. We didn't have the money to change cleats and longer and all that. We didn't have that. And we ended up losing that game, I think, 7-3. And coach his team, one day I was at a cigar shop, said, it's true that they did what you're accusing Florida State of, wetting the field so that the field was sloppy and it was slower, and they had the advantage because they knew what cleats to wear and the other team didn't. So, yes, this stuff happens. I think it happens, and it stinks.
Yeah. This goes question back to Christian. Was Tank Steele your manager when you were there?
Who?
Tank Connolly. Was he still the equipment manager?
No, he had Jeff Springer.
Okay. Well, Tank used to have, I said, 2 to 3 pair of cleats for every player. They take a tractor trailer that leaves Alabama usually on Monday or Tuesday going to whatever game they're going to make sure that it gets there with no breakdown, that has cleat after cleat after cleat with every configuration possible in order to make sure that what my good buddy, the Reverend there, just said, that Alabama has the money to have whatever kind of cleat we need. Did y'all have that, Corey? Not Corey, but Christian.
Yeah, I mean, I'm being honest with you, Pat. I think any big time program is going to have multiple pairs of cleats. I mean, even smaller schools, Pat. I mean, we used to even have specific cleats for the rain. So I wouldn't worry too much about that, honestly. I mean, the weather's going to be the weather. Jeff Springer probably makes a whole hell of a lot of money to be able to prepare us. But yeah, I mean, there's cleats that literally have specific spikes designed for wet field conditions. So best believe Alabama.
Now, Florida State's a true grass field, right? They don't have field turf.
No, they got grass, but it doesn't matter, though.
They just changed it. And last minute change is what I'm getting at. They didn't give this grass time to grow in. I mean, they could have changed this field back in May, and they didn't do it. They waited to the last minute to change this field, and it's going to make for sloppy conditions is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, but, I mean, football, man, those are the fun ones. I was about to say, it's Alabama, Florida State we're talking about, Pat. I mean, football is going to be football. You're right, it could be an ugly one. I mean, we saw what USF looked like with those field conditions, but – you know, hopefully we're better prepared this time around. And I don't know if they just didn't bring the right cleats or what, but that game, I feel like everybody was slipping and sliding. But, Yeah, we in the past, we've always had, you know, proper cleats that if we knew we were expecting something like that, we would make sure we were properly
What I want you left in an audience to know, to bring their sloppy boots, because Florida State just has very poor drainage on the field and around the field. Where parking is, goes underwater with not much rain at all. So, you know, bring your nice shoes there. Make sure you bring some boots or something.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, it might be messy. It's going to be messy because I think all this talk of Florida State doing, I just got a good feeling the boys on defense going to have a little something to say. I just really do. I mean, my initial gut feeling is that Alabama's defense, you know, I gave Kane Womack a lot of grief at times last year. I think he's a good coach. But I think this defense, you know, everybody talking about what Alabama and how they struggle stopping, doing threat. No, listen, I just told my church this yesterday. You know, in Isaiah, the Bible says, you know, behold, I'm going to show you a new thing. You know, Ecclesiastes said, there's a new season. You know, there's always a new season. You can't keep worrying about what they used to struggle. Nobody's sitting there saying what they used to struggle with when Nick Saban was here defensively, right?
That's right.
It's about this team. It's about this defense. No, this is a new team. It's a new season. Forget yesterday. What is the mindset? What is the identity of this team? And that's like I told my church. We started over. A new name, new foundation, new everything. It's a new season. It's a new ministry. Nobody cares what they did 20 years ago. Yeah, that was great. That had a great run. That's over. What can we do in this season? Things are different. People are different. These kids are different. We have to change and mold ourselves to the culture, and we don't change the foundation. We don't change the principles, blocking and tackling, if you will, when it comes to church. The Bible is going to be the Bible. We ain't changing that. But how we do certain things has to change to be able to reach this new culture. Same thing with this football team. They got a new identity, a new offensive coordinator. They got new players, new people. What can they change to stop this type of offense? And I think they'll be well prepared, in my opinion.
Corey, what you can do for your church, the best thing you can do is feed the youth. Constantly have pizza parties for them. Hey, you feed them, you get them in the door, you can change them if you get them in the door. That kind of way I look at
that. That's what we're doing.
And I got this score 42-10, Alabama wins. And the Celtics of Vegas has got it at 51.5. So I don't think I'm that far off. What do you think, Corey?
Ooh, that's a big lopsided score. First game, I said earlier. I just believe first game is always hard. Everyone that I've ever played in was difficult because I knew, you know, you're sick of camp, you're sick of going against one another. You get so excited, and sometimes it's hard to really compose yourself, especially early in the game. Anxiety sets in, you know, turnovers, jumping off sides, you know, false starts. There's always something that goes into these games. And I just think they'll be a lot closer, especially when you got, you know, programs like this, and especially if you own the road and you're not at home, so you don't recover as quickly. I think that's a little bit much, Pat. I do like the dub. I don't know what the score, but I think Alabama wins this game. But I think it's going to be a lot more difficult than people expect.
Okay. Well, I hope not. For Ty's sake, I like to see Ty with four touchdowns.
The bottom line, just to win. Just win.
Yeah. Win. That gives a difference. I'll take a one-point victory. But I'd like to see him have it coming out for me. Yeah, gotcha. All right, you guys have a blessed day. And the field conditions could be kind of rough.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that, Pat.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Good deal. Yeah, he's right. There's definitely going to be some field conditions. But, hey, man, like, I don't know if you guys are like me, but growing up, man, playing the rain was always fun. Now, obviously, that is going to change, you know, things from a game plan perspective. Obviously, a lot more running the football.
You like playing in the rain?
Listen, I meant like as a kid, it made it fun. It's about what you make it. Now, obviously, we're talking about competitive college football. Obviously, it's not ideal to have wet field conditions, people slipping around, me trying to get my pass rush, and I'm slipping on the edge. I get that part. But I'm saying, like, sometimes you got to make the most of it. Just have fun, man. Go back to the old days when you were young, just running around, tackling the guy at the ball and having fun, man, is getting after it. That's all I was saying. But in terms of being prepared, I mean, if you don't think Alabama and even Florida State, because they got to play on the field too, don't have the right equipment for this stuff, all the money they get from Nike and all that, come on now. They'll be all right. But that is something to pay attention to. He's right. The weather will be at play. I had this play pulled up, and I just wanted to mention this real quick. It just was an example of some of the things you see from this defense, 3-3-5, multiple defense from Tony White. Here's a look that they have. I think this was like on a fourth down, but what they end up showing, it's almost like a four down front. They end up bringing a backer through the B gap, and the end ends up dropping out, and they get into a cover three defense. And really, it's still just a four-man, you know, rush, but they're bringing the backer. And that's why when we talk about the 3-3-5, things can cause confusion for an offense and blocking schemes. Because, again, you drop that end, you bring the backer. This guard, his attention is all on that defensive tackle right there. And this backer ends up coming scot-free right up there for the sack on fourth down for a big play. Another quick note, as you can see, cover three, what's the weakness in cover three? The seams. That's why you see right here this wide receiver running clean. Now, he is a little bit outside of the seams, a little bit closer to the numbers, but still, you got a curl flat, hook, hook, curl flat here, three deep defenders, a third player, a third player, and a third player. You see that guy open. Unfortunately, you have a lapse by the guard, and it leads to the big sack, which he could have probably squeezed that. Not probably, he could have squeezed that in there for a big play, a big explosive play. But anyway, those are some quick little football talking points that came up from that play. As you guys know, we like breaking tape down, like breaking stuff down. If you guys want the best breakdowns, tune into the Miller's Edge. You won't find it anywhere else. Again, live on YouTube, you can see all this stuff. If you guys are listening on radio, that's great. But if you guys want to be able to see what we're talking about, check us out at the Miller's Edge on YouTube. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. We got more folks lined up on the phone lines. Try to squeeze some of these press conferences in on this Monday edition. Florida State prep day one, week one. We're coming at you live right here.
That's right. Free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
What a beautiful afternoon. The sky mostly sunny. Humidity values are down, the high 84. Tonight, a preview of fall. Mostly clear with the low in the low 60s, around 62. Tomorrow, partly sunny. A few isolated afternoon showers, the high 79. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, with our first day of Florida State prep and breakdown right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Quick reminder, though, Friday's a home game weekend, so not this Friday, but next Friday, we will be doing the show live at 1225. Make sure you guys come and hang out with us, get game day weekend started the right way. It will be the first home game of the year. I know everybody's going to be rolling into town looking forward to that, so why don't you come hang out with us? Listen to the show live, enjoy some great food, whether it's pizza, wings, burgers, all that good stuff, Rotel dip, tacos, they've got it all for you. Great drinks. Tipsy Elephant is very popular there. It's right there on the strip, 1225 University Boulevard. You can't miss it. Come hang out, listen to the show, and I'd love to see all our listeners. We did it there last year, had a great time, ran it back, or we are running it back, and really excited about that. I know you guys were asking, hey, are we going to do it again? Yes, we are, and that's where we will be at, again, live at 1225, so make sure you guys come hang out with us again Friday, our normal show hours. Plus, you know, there still will be open, plenty of food and drinks going around. Make sure you guys drink responsibly, but you guys don't want to miss out, man. It's going to be a great time, another great season.
Well, I know.
What?
I'm slapping Ellis and all them boys with them tipsy elephants last year.
Oh, man, they had a time of their life, man.
Tipsy elephant was a big hit.
Yeah, no, that's their popular drink that they do, man. So, and I'm sure they might have added some new stuff, too. So I'm excited to see. Now, granted, you know, personally, I just drink water. I was drinking just the watery elephant. But everybody that tried the tipsy elephant said it was amazing. And obviously, it was a big hit. We watched a number of those go around throughout the year last season. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's keep on rolling. 205-342-9904. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, Smitty?
What up, Smitty? Hey, what up? What up?
Good, good. Never told you guys, I was stationed in the Air Force. I was stationed in Charleston for a couple of years in my early 20s. And all I got to say is Orangeburg and Myrtle Beach were good times. That's all I got to say. And I'll leave it at that.
Myrtle Beach. I don't know about the Berg, man. Orangeburg. Hey, I don't know about
hey. That. Nah. I was 22 at the time. 21, 22 is all I got to say.
He was probably near the college.
He was at South Carolina State. That's in Orangeburg. See, in South Carolina, you go to the black community, they don't say Orangeburg, it's in Orangeburg. It's Orangeburg.
Yep.
So it's about an hour from downtown Charleston. But you go up there, it's Bulldog City, baby, South Carolina State. Yeah. And so you like partying and having fun and music, dancing. That's why he was up there at South Carolina State. Them brown babies was up there. That's what he was chasing, yeah. The brown babies.
Oh, wow.
Hey, not now. I'm not getting my Shannon Sharp on now. It ain't me. I'm 46. Yeah, I'm gone. But here's the thing. I got an NFL question before I get to Alabama. I know you're going to defend us like pass rushers. Since the whole media is out here talking about Shador like he's Warren Moon or Doug Williams, what they had to go through, how excited were you guys when you guys watch tape and you see the starting quarterback on the opposition who holds the ball too long and always drifts back in the pocket? How excited that made you guys?
No, man, I know I'm good for about three on that game. Shoot. No, I mean, but see, that's his biggest problem. Shador is so talented, man, but his biggest knock, and he did it in college, the drifting. He's always looking to make plays, and I get it. Those guys did not protect to save their life. And he was, behind the eight ball the entire time. But he's got to learn, man, when you drift like that, I mean, that's a defensive end's dream, man. I mean, like, you just are giving us opportunity after opportunity, and he don't want to throw it away. Oh, man, we would have been licking our chops knowing we were about to play against a guy like that.
Listen,
let me just say, man, when he drifts, to his credit, okay, and I'm a Shador Sanders fan. I think he's ready. I think he can play football. But here's the problem: when you've had 40 something sacks at Colorado, which he had, you get forced to have to improvise so much. Everybody says, "Oh, he needs to get rid of the ball." We understand that. I listen to these experts on. We understand that. But when you are your mode is, I got to make a play, right? I got to make something big happens. And I think this is the thing that hurt him, because he holds the ball in hopes that he's going to make somebody miss. He's going to make this enormous play, and it gets him in trouble. And that's hard to come out of until you get into an offense. Just like the other day, he had five drives and five sacks, I think. The offensive line was terrible, right? They couldn't block me. And so he had instant pressure. So he had to resort back to trying to make a play. And he needs to get with an offense that can protect when he gets his reads. It's five, 4-3-2-1 or 1-2-3-4-5, however you want to go, and the ball's out. But I think that just comes with having a better offensive line, having an offense that's really built on timing, which Cleveland's offense is that. That offense is built to, like, you're supposed to have somewhere to go to football, but his bad habits sometimes gets him. So it makes a great play, ESPN highlights, then there's those five sacks. So you kind of get the best of both those worlds, Spitty, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I got you there. And that's why I always tell people, sometimes it's best to sit, just like with Milroe in Seattle. People want him to be a starter. I'm like, man, he got to sit for two just to learn and everything. And it's okay to sit and be patient, because if they throw you out there, you ain't ready, you don't look good, they will cast you aside. And plus, you can still make good money as a backup, as Chase Daniels. But the question I have about Alabama, one thing I want to bring up, the 3-3-5, isn't that defense susceptible to the run game? Because I remember Alabama, when they last made the playoff, it was the year Bryce Young was there. And I remember Ole Miss and Cincinnati was running 3-3-5. and they just ran the ball. You know, is that the case for that defense that stuck with to the run?
Yes and no. So, I mean, naturally, if you're just in a base 3-3-5 the whole time, you got your guys playing off and they're not really, you know, running stunts or pressures. Yes, it definitely can be susceptible to the run. But the evolution of it is really what's been, you know, helping it be a lot stronger, right? I mean, again, if you pull up Nebraska's numbers, I want to say they were top 10 in stopping the run last season, if not really close to it. And the other thing is, a lot of people that do run 3-3-5, like I was saying earlier, they don't just stick in it the whole time. At least maybe some of those Big 12 teams used to. But nowadays, all it takes is you take that backer who's like the Sam backer in that 3-3-5, and then you just roll him down to play basically like a Jack or a Wolf. And now you got a four. It's basically a 4-2-5. So, and then the last thing is if you watch what they like doing out of 3-3-5 stuff and what makes it appealing for defensive coordinators is it allows you to send players – and it kind of disrupts blocking schemes and offensive lines. Sometimes it causes confusion, and you can force some negative plays that way. But in terms of consistently just being physical against the run, I mean, yeah, it's a different way of attacking it. What you're relying on is you're relying on the three guys up front to really try to just, you know, control the line of scrimmage up there. Then the second layer defenders to be able to run and hit, fill gaps and make plays. And they have to have good recognition, good instincts, and they've got to do it. If not, it can, you know, set yourself up to give up big plays in the running game. So if you do it correctly, it's okay.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Smitty. You know, my son is right and then he's wrong. Okay, he's right about everything he said except to answer your question. To answer your question is you're right. It is susceptible to the run, right? And in order to stop the run, you have to be sending guys in all these different gaps, right? Right. You're a three-down man front, three-man. So, therefore, that means that there's gaps that's acceptable, right? There's cutback lanes that becomes acceptable. You got more guys off the line of scrimmage, which means they're going to be easier targets to be blocked, right? And so those cutback lanes becomes a problem. If you go back and watch, you know, those offenses against this style of defense, watch cutback lanes. Watch how often those backs are cutting back. And it's getting up to the second and third level of defense. So I like it based on what he said, right? Because it also gives offenses problems because when it comes to the passing game, right, because you don't know where these blitzes are coming from. That's the that's the problem when it comes for offense because they run stunts and loops and all guys are moving and twist up front, you know, looped around the off guys. So it becomes a blocking nightmare for an offensive line. And that's why when you look at, you know, defenses today, they go to this style, either 3-3-5/4-2-5, really kind of the same thing. Because you got a Sam, as he said, like I play, right? I can play off the ball, but I can also walk up and play like a Sam linebacker, which is just a strong side outside linebacker, and be able to play force, right? I can do that. Or I can back off and slide the end over a little bit. And then I play coverage. So this is all based on down and distances. So it is a weakness that is the weakness of a 3-3-5 is stopping the run. Because you have to commit guys in gap scheme to stop the run. And then that makes you susceptible over the top. So if you're playing a passing team that's pass happy, it's great, right? You're going to be blitzing guys, sending guys, hitting the quarterback. You're going to get some TFLs because you're in the run game. But if you got a good enough team and a very sharp number two pencil offensive coordinator, bro, he going to eat that defense alive because he's going to have you so off balance that there's going to be so many mistakes. So it's kind of like it can help you, but yet at the same time, it can hurt you. You basically have to say as a defensive coordinator, okay, I'm going to choose my poison this particular game, and it's all based on who I'm playing on the offense. If it's a team that can't throw the football, I'm going to do my thing. If it's a team that throws it a lot, then I'm going to need to back off and play more coverage than Russ and just mix it up based on down and distance. So, yeah, I don't like it just because of the weakness in the run game. But if I'm playing a pass-happy team, a fast-paced team, yes, I want a 3-3-5 in the game. That makes sense.
Oh, and thanks for answering that. And one thing about even Alabama defense, we don't get Tommy Castellanos confused as like some precision passer. So wouldn't it make sense to say, hey, we're going to do our best to take this run away And if you beat us passing, we'll shake your hand and have a good day. And you had a good game.
Yep. Yep. If he can throw for 300, three touchdowns, and we lose that way, God bless him. But here's what I'm going to tell you, Smitty. He ain't going to do that. He can't do that.
He ain't. That's
my
point.
Listen, I'm going to make him throw the football. I am going to stop the run. I'm going to make sure every gap is accounted for. I'm going to hit him in the mouth. You come to these little zone reads, I'm telling my guys on the outside, they have quarterback, and then my alley player, I want you to lay the wood. I want the wood laid on this dude. And I'm going to get him in third and longs. We got to be good on first down, right? We're going to get him in second and long, third and long, become very obvious in the passing game, and then I'm going to turn my guys loose. So, yes, stop the run. If you let them run the football, this is where you're going to have a problem. Now you're going to be guessing. And now his average to below average passing arm strength and passing game can hurt you because now tight ends, backs out of the backfield, you know, those are things that he's completing. But if you keep him in third and long, I take Alabama all day, every day, twice on Sunday with a little bit of brunch. Because that's the weakness of his game, you know, if you make him become a true passer.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I know you guys got to get to it, but thanks for taking my call as always. You guys have a good
one. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Appreciate it, bro. Smitty.
All right, Smitty. Thank you, buddy.
Good deal. All right, let's go ahead and hit this next time. We come back, we keep on rolling. I know we're loaded on the phone line, so we'll keep trying to go there. Then hopefully squeeze in a little bit from the press conferences from today right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Officially week one of the season for Alabama as they prepare to travel down to Tallahassee, where they probably will experience some wet, nasty conditions. We talked a little bit about that with Pat earlier, but nonetheless, man, we are fired up. We're throwing it all at you. We're going through our preview. We broke down the depth chart, talked about the scheme that we're expecting to see both offensively and defensively. We'll continue to dive into all this throughout the week. And then obviously Friday, man, we'll really put a bow on everything, give our final predictions. Plus, we got some stuff lined up throughout the week and talk to some other people as well. So make sure you guys stay on the lookout for that. All our people in our YouTube chat, we got a whole bunch of people watching right now, man. If you haven't already, man, drop a like on the stream. That always helps us out. Subscribe if you haven't already. Again, we will be doing this every single day, Monday through Friday, as we do our show. Plus, might even hop on here in the evening, man, and do a little bit of a Miller's Edge Extra like we used to do as well. So the more you guys like, comment, all that stuff, man, the more we can start throwing at you. And so make sure you guys get involved with all that. Stay up to date. They also on social media at the Miller's Edge. Make sure you don't miss out on anything there as well. All right, it's already 42, man. We might have to we got so many callers. I'm trying to get to everybody. Goodness. Let's do this. I guess we might just have to put on hold some of these conversations.
I think we should stay with the phone calls and then talking Tuesdays. You know, when the coaches are talking, you can do all that. They're going to be talking much more about the game.
They spoke to me today, so I just was going to try to get to it while I was fresh. But you're right. We'll just keep rolling with the calls, and then tomorrow we'll hear and we'll break it down. We'll have more time to break it down. So let's keep it rolling. 205-342-9904. We got JR up next. JR, welcome in.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, JR, what's going on?
Good afternoon, JR.
I'm doing good. Hey, Roy. I'm Corey. I'm sorry. I'm glad to hear you. Last time I was on the air with you, I didn't even know it was you were there. I mean, I'm sorry about that. Didn't acknowledge it, that I had a chance to talk with you, but I'm glad to talk with you. Great. You were talking about the weather maybe being an issue this weekend, and you probably already discussed a lot of what I'm about to ask, but what is the most affected part of the game? Or what is most affected by that weather change in the as far as was it, is it offense, defense, special teams? What is it?
I would say offense and special
defense.
Teams. No, I'd say offense and special teams, man.
I think defense has – now, that's why we like this, because we don't agree on nothing. Listen, let me just say this.
Tell me why you think defense, please. No, I'm really curious.
Let me make sure I understood his question, because there was a little bit of delay. You saying which side of the ball is affected by the weather the most?
Yeah, what part of the game is most affected by the weather? Whether it be offense, defense, or even special teams, you want to throw that in.
Man, that's offense.
Here's what I'm
going to say. Special teams easily, man. How do you even come up with defense? Yeah. Explain that, please.
Well, my point of defense is this. You know, that.
Well, I kind of agree with you on defense.
Yeah, it's kind of hard as a defensive player because you offense, they know where they're going. Right. When you got a slippery surface and you have to just read and react and you got bad footing, bad weather, you know, slipping of with the cleats, that's hard. I mean, it slows you down. You can't play the game as fast and as furious as a defender when the weather is bad. But on the flip of offense, I don't even special teams don't really, in my opinion, is not even affected that much. Maybe
kicking?
Just catching the ball if it's wet.
Bro,
if it's wet
kicking,
weather,
kicking, returning
I said,
punt.
I said catching the ball. That's it, not kicking.
And kicking, you know, yes, it kicking vision. No, wind. No. What are you talking about? Wet ball. The snapper getting the no. The holder getting the snap. What are you talking about? Kick it.
No,
oh, that's a big deal.
No.
You're tripping on that one, man.
It's really not. So I'm saying defense, and I think it's just harder for a defensive player. Because it slows you down. You can't be as aggressive in your footwork, especially when you got to change directions and things are just so, you know, depends on how you change direction, how fast you can go to pass rush. Can you get that shoulder down and rip around the corner without losing your footing? So to me, it affects the defense a lot more just because offensive players know where they're going with the football. They know, you know, they know their routes. And to me, it becomes a lot easier. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, let me answer, because I respectfully disagree with that, because he said who is the most affected. Not everybody is affected. We can all agree on that. And you're right, and I do respect what you're saying in your answer about your reaction. You know, defense is reactionary, right? You're playing off of them, and you're right. If you got to, you know, make a cut, right, because that offensive guy knows where he's going. He knows where he's running his route. That, I get what you're saying to an extent. But in terms of most affected, number one, special teams is a great point that JR brought up, because fielding punts, you deal with a lot more muffed punts because it's hard to catch a wet football. Rain's getting in your eyes when you're trying to see the football. That can be a problem. Special teams, whether you realize it or not, kicking a football that's wet definitely is an issue. Not to mention the holder has to get
they
the
wet. They keep the ball dry.
They try to. Yes, they try to. But at the same
they cover the balls up. They keep them dry. I'm telling you, it's not as effective as you think. Maybe high school, but at this level of football, they are very peculiar when it
true.
Comes to those
no,
balls.
No, they do. They do what they can.
They're not as wet like you think. That's what I'm saying. But when you talk about the surface, that's a whole nother. That's a whole other different thing.
You still got to snap the ball when it's on the wet grass. When you snap, it does get wet again. But you're right. They do what they can to try to keep it. But then offensively, to me, I'm thinking, bro, the whole game plan typically has to take a shift, because if it's monsoon and it's raining too hard, you already know the passing game is greatly affected. So then you go to the running game, which hopefully you can establish that. But then you're worried about your back slipping. You're worried about the backs losing the football. Think about how many fumbles we see when it's raining outside and defense is just – it's like fumbles galore. Defense is stacking and padding the stat sheet in terms of the turnovers that they're forcing. So, respectfully, I'm going offense and special teams 100%.
I'm going there. I'm stubborn. You didn't convince me.
No, I love
Jared,
I'm not going to lie. We've been agreeing too much, so I'm glad you took a different stance. Thank you.
Just like father and son.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I agree with you that the offense knows where they're going and the defense does not. So yes, that gives them the advantage in that point as far as it goes. But catching the ball and even accurately throwing the ball, whether it be the wet or the wind or whatever, those are effective as far as on the offensive side. And yet, you know, in the defense, like you said, they don't know which where the play is going. So they're kind of like have to stand still a little bit longer before they make their quick moves. And usually right. the defenses are right. faster than the offense as far as on the line of scrimmage and such as that. But, I just feel like, you know, that maybe the offense has a little bit of an edge in these conditions, but still they it do. Weighs out.
They do.
And, you know, but I still feel like there's a lot of a far
issue. Listen, brother. Listen to this. I played in Giant Stadium, right? Where weather is always, especially winter, not so much rain, but snow and ice and wind. And I'm just going to tell you, it was hard. And here's the thing with the offense. Yeah, you can talk about the wet ball and all this, but because they know where they're going, those little short dig routes, those little short over routes, they're so much easier to complete them just because it slows the defender down. And that's why I said advantage offense. Because we don't know where they're going. They do. And we don't have the footing, or we're not moving as fast, right? Because we're scared we're going to fall down. So you're very methodical when it comes to changing direction, even in tackling. You know, if you got a guy in the open field, you know, when you used to run and have that right angle, right, inside out, you're almost half speed trying to get out there because you know you can't stop on a dime. You're going to go sliding. So all of that affects the defender. That's all I'm saying. It makes it much more difficult.
That's fair.
Well, I agree with that point, but I also agree with Luke, you as well, Christian. The offense is affected in a lot of different ways as well. And who gets it worse? Who knows? We'll just find out.
True.
We'll find out. Hopefully the weather will pan out to be okay, which I think so.
Real quick, what do you think about on penalties? Is it worse or better when it's wet? Messy. I mean, do they throw more flags or do they give them a little more leniency on penalties?
I don't think it happened really. I mean, because the game
doesn't matter.
You know, so I don't think it matters at all. You're not running routes full speed. You don't have the PIs like you normally have. You know,
what about holding?
It just makes the game sloppy. Holding, you might have some holding, but other than that, I think it's. It's about the same.
They may be just holding on so they don't fall down, you see?
Probably, yeah.
Well, anyway, I appreciate very much y'all's input, and it was fun talking with you, Corey, and I look forward to doing it again. Yeah. And roll tide. And I'll give you a prediction later this week.
Roll time.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Roll tide.
Prediction Friday, baby. Roll tide. Right.
All right, we got to hit this last timeout. We come back. We wrap things up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, Kayla DeBoer previews Florida State. Kane Womack previews the defensive side of the football. Ryan Grubb talks. We'll talk about it. We'll do it with Drew DeArmond. We'll talk about it with Martin Houston, all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in time.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
What a beautiful afternoon. The sky mostly sunny. Humidity values are down, the high 84. Tonight, a preview of fall. Mostly clear with the low in the low 60s, around 62. Tomorrow, partly sunny. A few isolated afternoon showers, the high 79. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. To wrap things up real quick, here is Florida State head coach Mike Norvell talking about Alabama ahead of the week 1 matchup.
after watching Tony's group throughout the spring and now the preseason? How intrigued are you to see him against a different opponent, especially somebody as talented and physical as Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great challenge. You look at Alabama, what they do offensively. You know, they got a very experienced offensive line, big, strong, powerful. You look at how they utilize the tight end position and creating different surfaces, movements, all the window dressing to really be able to play downhill. And then, they're going to push the ball vertically down the field. I think it's probably one of the best receiving cores, in the country. Some very talented players that will align all over the place. So you've got to be locked in on matchups. You got to be locked in on leverages, understanding what's your job, what's your task, and what you're trying to take away. And you got to be aggressive. I mean, this is a team that if you don't bring it every snap, I mean, they absolutely will expose you. And so I'm really looking forward to our defense. You've seen them be able to transition from all the things we've worked in practice, and for that to carry over into the game. And it's both sides. You got two new coordinators on the offensive defense side of the ball, and I think they've done a great job of working together as they've competed against each other in fall camp, and now as we transition kind of or into game week, and the preparation that's been invested, and to be able to challenge each other, try to expose areas against each other that I think has made us better through the process and through that competition. So I'm really looking forward to both sides of the ball getting to go and show it on game day.
So there you have it. That was head coach Florida State Mike Norvell talking a little bit about Alabama ahead of their week one matchup. We got to go ahead and wrap things up here on this Monday edition. Hope you guys enjoyed it again. We took a preview at Florida State, this matchup, watched a little bit of tape, got some ideas on what we can expect schematically, because that's what we like to do. We'd like to talk the game of football, break it down in that capacity. And we're going to continue to do that throughout the week. We got a lot planned for you, so make sure you guys stay up to date. Subscribe on YouTube, like the video, all that good stuff. Follow us on all social media platforms. Check us out here, Tide 100.9 on the radio station, all that good stuff, because we got plenty of heat coming at you. And if you like true breakdowns, folks with experience talking about the game unlike any other, man, you know where to find it, right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We'll see you guys tomorrow in 22 hours. Do it all over again. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.